بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحابته أجمعين، أما بعد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. My respected brothers and friends, Allah Azza wa Jal has defined the purpose of our creation in this very short statement. Now, it's significant to mention that probably most of us sitting here, if we were asked at any point of our lifespan, that what is the purpose of your creation? Why are you here? So I'm assuming that probably everyone here would give the answer that I have been created for the worship of my Allah, the worship of my Creator. And if we ask this question in the villages of India, Pakistan, Sudan, Chad, or any other Muslim country, you would get the same answer. Right? And actually, I've tried that out, and I've actually asked small children in small villages, and they gave me this answer. Amazingly, after I accepted Islam in 1970, 71, so coming back to the United States, where I'm originally from, so I asked this question to my cousin, who was at that time a student in Harvard University. And he was a junior or sophomore in Harvard. Unfortunately, he is not a Muslim. So I asked this question, that what is your purpose of life? Why, what is the meaning of your existence? So he kind of scratched his head and, what does that sound? I don't know. Now imagine, for a young man to enter into Harvard University, I mean, what extent of expenditure, studies, resources, teaching, learning, and at least 14, 15 years has gone past. The sum result of all of that effort is, I don't know. So I think number one, let us all do shukr. That at least verbally we know the answer to this question. Okay? Haqiqat of this question is another story, but at least verbally we know the answer to the question. Why are we created? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for His ibadah, His ubudiyah. Illa liya'budun. Now, those who understand the Arabic language will observe that إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, this is a verbal construction. This is a verbal phrase which uses what we call فِعْلَ الْمُضَارِعَ. Continuous sense. Continuous tense. Present, future, continuous. So it's as though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, I have not created you for any other purpose except to be continuously in a condition of my servitude. He didn't say, I have created you to become my worshippers. I have created you to be continuously and constantly in my ubudiyyah and ibadah. That being the case, it means that this is not a situation where we find ourselves in ubudiyyah when we enter the masjid, when we enter the khanqah, when we go in the jamaat in tabligh, or other quote-unquote dini works. It is a continuous and constant kayfiyat. Islam itself, you know, usually these days when I talk to Muslims, general public, first of all we start talking about what is Islam? Because to understand Islam actually is to understand ubudiyyah. So Islam in Arabic language also, because those who don't speak Arabic or are not Arabic speaking, even the term Islam, it's an abstract statement. What does it mean? You know, in Pakistan, so we ask somebody in, you know, in Urdu, we say, you know, what's your religion? Islam. To Islam, to kya hai? To Islam, deen hai. Deen kya hai? Matlab, yani,
To say Islam, they just say hum. Like us, Islam is a deen. What is a deen? Deen is Islam.
So actually we don't understand, what is it? Is it a philosophy? Is it a, is it an ism? It's a schism? It's a ist? Islamist. Now they've come up with a new term, Islamist. This is really amazing. Every Muslim is an Islamist, isn't it? Do you have any ist except Islam? That is our... Actually, Islam in the Arabic language is not a philosophy, it is not a religion, it is not... It is a kayfiyat. It's a condition. It's a state of mind and heart. I give an example. Actually, in Arabic it means to surrender, Islam. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ. The same order Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. And we take it lightly. On my identity card, Muslim. So, Islam, naturally, I was born into the club. So, I'm a member, automatically. No. Allah Azza wa Jal is telling one of his ulul azm, min ar-rusul, aslim, submit, enter into Islam. And the jawab, the reply, aslim tu rabbil alamin. Suppose, to bring the masala a bit closer to our understanding, suppose, here in Durban now, theft is on the upbeat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all afiat. Globally, it's a problem. So suppose a thief robs the bank. He runs down the main street of Durban. Now, all of a sudden, the army confronts him from the front. Navy is now facing him from the back. Coast guards from the sides. Police helicopter from the top. Right? So now he looks around everywhere, he sees no escape. Surrounded. So what does he do? Surrender. This is called aslama in Arabic language. Islam. In Arabic language, this is basically linguistically what it means. Surrender. So this thief has surrendered to a physical overpowering. But for the human being, when he looks around to the khalq as-samawati wal-ard and the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, millions and billions of light years of galaxies, of expansiveness, all created for the human being. Sun moving for his khidmat, moon moving for his khidmat, the earth, you see, granting its resources and its barakat by the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah. Systems within inside him, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Totally asleep in the night, no control over any aspect of his being, and yet systems, unbelievable systems, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is working. Heart is pumping, liver is purifying, kidneys are functioning, bloodstream is delivering nutrients to every cell of the body. Amazing. And he has nothing to do with it. And not one individual. How many billions of individuals Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, in the one brain, 6 billion brain cells, I think it's 10 billion neurons you have. Neuron is not a simple unit, it's a very complicated unit. You've got 6 billion or 10 billion, I believe, in each brain. So the human being looks around without him, within him, and then he sees, like the thief sees, he's physically overpowered. So the human being looks around, you see, with the eyes of his heart and his mind, and he sees that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greatness, his ni'mat, his barakat, his khair, his Allah. And what happens? With love and affection and overpowering awe, he surrenders. Oh Allah, you are my creator, you are my sustainer, you are my Lord. You brought me into existence from nothing, and everything you give. So you are my Lord, I am your slave. And this human being is the one entity, human being and jinn. They are the only creation that actually can acquire this kayfiyat. That is their speciality. Not because he split the atom, because he went to the moon, he went under the sea. We have fish that go without, you know, submarines, they go into the sea farther than we do. Yeah? We have animals which are much more powerful physically than we are. Allahu Akbar. But none of the creation with its intelligence will submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, love and affection of His. And this kayfiyat, to the extent that kayfiyat comes into us, to that extent actually are taraqqi. Not with our bank balance, not with our degree, not with our pedigree, not with our physical appearance. To the extent of this ubudiyah in our life, to that extent Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates us. Our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the most ashraf maqamat, the marjiza which Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not given to any of his prophets other than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-Isra. Isra wal Mi'raj, peculiar to our Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So addressing our Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this occasion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has documented that event with this laqab, with this title, Subhanalladhi Asra bi Abdihi. Exalted is Allah. Subhana. I mean, there's no translation for Subhan. Exalted, free from. But I think every Muslim can feel Subhanallah. By looking around and feeling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness and exaltedness, Subhanallah, it's translated by feeling. Subhanalladhi Asra bi Abdihi. He didn't say, Subhanallah, asra bi rasulihi, bi nabihi, bi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By kamal al-ubudiyah, taraqqi al-insan. The Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the akmal manifestation of ubudiyah. There was an Arabic poet who was overcome by the love of some woman. So, if you don't have love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overpowering you, then some kind of love for something else will overpower you. Woman, or nafs, or food, or house, or new Mercedes, or whatever it might be. So this fellow, unfortunately, he was overpowered by the love of some woman. So he had this couplet. He said, لا تدعوني إلا يا عبدها فإنه أشرف أسمائي. He said, don't call me anything except the abd of my beloved, the abd of my fulana. That is the most ashraf of all of my names, you see. So the poor fellow, you know, taking the sharafat was being the abd of some woman. So our sharafat is actually being Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ibad. Ibad al-Rahman al-ladina yamshuna ala al-ardi hawna. Ibad al-Rahman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all his ibad. But now, there's another critical issue, and that is that this ubudiyah, as we have given an ishara previously, this ubudiyah, it doesn't just happen like that. We're not born into the club. This ubudiyah, it stems from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ma'rifat, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's consciousness. So if we want to elevate ourselves in reality, really, so that elevation will be according to the elevation in ubudiyah. And that elevation of ubudiyah is exactly aligned with the extent of ma'rifat and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have. So therefore, as it generally is the daily endeavor of most of us, that our bank balances should increase daily, our income should increase daily, our bottom line should increase daily. Actually, our understanding in kayfiyat and ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should increase daily. Now we've got reporting systems, right? What's the shop doing? What's the industry doing? What's, you know? But do we have an indication that our iman, our ubudiyah, our yaqeen, our ta'alluq billah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mahabbatullah, mahabbatul rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is increasing on a daily level. So perhaps we need to actually chalk out a plan for that. Document it. Telling myself, you know, the past 10, 20, 30, 40 years we've been attending masjid, we've been attending, you know, our namaz is our namaz actually. Is it increasing in kafiyat? Is our dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do we get more and more lizzat? Do we get more and more, you know, awareness and consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You know, when we open the Holy Quran and we're reading, do we feel that we're talking directly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that He's talking directly to us? So we need to actually observe and audit these kafiyats. This is going on in my life. This is increasing in my life. If so, then with this ma'rifat, then inshallah, my ubudiyat will continue. With this ubudiyat, then actually tahqiq of the ayat will be possible. Otherwise it will be impossible. Because the test is not simply when we're in the masjid, when we're in the khanqah, when we're in the jamaat. The real test is outside when we leave. It's interesting to note that the arkan al-Islam, Bunya al-Islam ala khams, right? Five arkan of Islam. Notice that all of these five arkan of Islam are all ibadat. Ibadat, what we call ibadat, mahdha. Totally and solely ibadat. There's no worldly objective. I mean, nobody offers salat because they want their shop to increase in barakah, you know. It's totally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders, totally and solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ubudiyyah. You're not going to lose weight, you know, offering, you know, 5-10 rakats. So there's no other objective. Zakat, fasting, hajj. All of these arkan of Islam are all ibadats. However, Nabi Rasulullah did say the whole of Islam is five arkan. Bunya al-Islam. Islam was built on these five arkan. So there's two things. One is the foundations, and one is the entire edifice, the entire building. So five pillars we have. But if you have five pillars, do you say you have a building? Suppose we have 5-10 pillars of the masjid. Do we say we have masjid? Or do we say we have the foundations of the masjid? The masjid is yet to fully appear. Yes, you could offer namaz, you can offer namaz. But you don't really have a masjid, you'll have a real masjid, proper masjid, when the entire building is built, isn't it? And without foundations, you won't have a building. Building will collapse. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these five arkan to build ubudiyyah into us. The shahada, giving shahada, an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu. It means I'm bearing witness. It doesn't mean I'm saying, I'm repeating something that I heard. I'm bearing witness, la. That means you cannot bear witness to something you're not present. Isn't it? So if we're going to really have this rukun within us, it means that we have to bear witness, meaning that we are present, we are witnessing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness, His oneness, His ni'mat, His bounty, His qudrat, by isma and His sifat. We're giving witness because we're aware that we're present. We're observing. Similarly, giving witness of the nubuwwat of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are witnessing, we are bearing witness. That we're seeing with the eye of yaqeen that success is only in the ways of our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Deviation from the way of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is the path of failure. This is a rukun. This is ibadat of our hearts and our minds. Namaz is there to give us a total kafiyat of ubudiyyah within and without, mentally, spiritually, eyes, hands, feet, every aspect of the body. Utilization of wealth, it's not ours, we're slaves. Slave doesn't own anything. Wealth is not ours, it is a amanat, it is a trust. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَأَدُّوا أَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the order that we have to return the amanat to its rightful owners and its rightful recipients. So similarly, zakat is in ubudiyyah, training in the uses of the resources Allah has given us. And hajj, time is very short. Otherwise, all of these arkan of Islam, the maqsad of them, are to create within this kafiyat of ubudiyyah. So that, In every instance, in every activity, this kayfiyat carries over into our other activities in life as human beings. In our business relations, in our family relations, in the relations with our neighbors. Half of our deen is in the relationship between us and our Creator and our Rabb. And half of this ubudiyah is our interactions and transactions with other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this ubudiyah, if it comes into our lives, it comes into our aqidah, it comes into our minds and hearts, then it translates into action and activities wherever we happen to be, 24 hours a day. We have 6 minutes. So since the time that we live, it's a time, it's actually the theme of today's what we call Asr al-Hadir. In the time that we're living, it's actually, Ubudiyah is the antithesis of the whole, you know? Like the slogan says, just do it. Do you hear that? Just do it. Freedom. So this is actually Shaitan's antithesis to Ubudiyah. Freedom. Just do it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says no. See to me, take my permission, and then do it. This is ubudiyah. But I'll end my little talk, you see, with a story which is, it was relevant when it happened, and it's relevant today, and probably even more relevant today. And the story goes like this. There was a fellow. And it's very likely that it could have been a similar scenario to what we find here in South Africa, affluence. With affluence comes pleasure, leisure, enjoyment. And then maximize enjoyment, that becomes objective of life. So similarly, in any case, in any place, in any era of history, this is a syndrome that we see reoccurring. So there was a fellow by the name of Bishr al-Harith. Arab, well-to-do, affluent, lot of resources, no object of life. So what do? Party. Just do it. Same thing. So nightly he would have his parties and dancing and singing and sharab and intoxicants and whatnot. So he would be carrying on. And the well-to-dos of the society would come and join him in his party. Okay, fine. So one night, in that kayfiyat, there was a knock on the door. So the slave girl who was working there, she went to the door. It was an old man, some fellow off the street. So he said, he asked this question, he asked, is your master a free man or a slave? So now, in those days, you know, there was a slavery system, there was, you know, people had, you know, their slaves and their servants and all that. So now, the slave woman, she answers very quickly, huh? He's a free man? I mean, he's not a slave, he's not owned by anyone, he's a free man. So this old fellow, he said, yeah, I thought so. That's why I see him carrying on like he's doing. And he left. Now, Bishr al-Harith, though he was intoxicated and he was, you know, but he understands that something now has happened. So he goes to his jariya, he goes to his slave girl and he says, what happened? So she narrated the incident that this fellow came and he knocked on the door and what did he say? He asked her, is your master a free man or is he a slave? So what did you say? I said, he's a free man. So now, barefooted, he runs out of the house in search of this guy. He's running down the small alleys. And then finally he meets up with this old fellow and gets him. He said, what did you say to my slave girl? So he said, yes, I asked, are you a free man or are you a slave?
So then she replied, yes, he's a free man. And so I replied that that's why I see him doing what he's doing. So this just struck the fellow. And there in the street, he fell down in sajda. And he cried and cried and cried. And as he had run out of the house barefoot, and his tawbah took place while he was barefoot, so he became known later as Bishr al-Hafi. Hafi means the barefooted one. And this fellow went on to become one of the great mashayikh and great murshids, you see, of our... But he started out as a free man. And he ended up as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's slaves. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me... This talk is basically for me, because I am the person who needs to learn Ubudiyat and become Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's slave, number one. All of us require that, and the entire insaniyat is in need of that. So let us take this opportunity to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us this haqiqat of Ubudiyat, become the manifestations of an embodiment of Ubudiyat, and become the example to bring the rest of this poor insaniyat towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Ubudiyat. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم. Silence. Can you do it?